News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
By the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee. Good morning.
Good
to
morning,
you, Minister. Obviously, dominating the headlines all of this week, the protests happening in Coolock. We now see huge, they look like almost dystopian barriers around the Crown's paint premises. Is this where we are at now? 200, 250 people moved on last night, protesters by the public order unit, having to build cement walls around asylum seeker centres. Is this now the reality in Ireland?
Well, I think we need to be very careful what we call protest and what's legitimate and what's not. And obviously last night we saw a further group of people gathering outside Crown Paints. It was peaceful and after Garda intervention they were moved on. However, what we saw on Monday was in no way legitimate protest. What we saw were people firing missiles, rockets, attacking members of An Garda Síochána Síochána Síochána, a member of a security team was assaulted, and this is what escalated the whole thing on Monday, as well as private property being set alight. So I think we have to be very careful, all of us, when we refer to protest, because we've all been part of or spoken to protesters. That was not protest. It was criminal behaviour and criminal activity, and that's why you had 30 people arrested,
so you
15
agree with
before the court.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, he says if you pick up a petrol bomb, you lose the right to be called a protester.
100%. And this idea that communications was the reason for us, there was no amount of communication would have stopped those who intentionally went to Coolock that day or who had been already there, whose sole purpose was to sow division but also to create havoc. That was their sole focus. And you know that because of what happened, the scenes that we saw. And I think Gardaí responded extremely well in what was a very difficult and challenging scenario. You had hundreds of people throughout the day who came. They didn't want to talk. They didn't want to engage in conversation or debate as to the rights or wrongs or the merits or not of what was happening. What they wanted to do was cause harm. And again, that's why you had people before the courts. If people are engaged in normal and peaceful protest, you're not brought before the courts and you're certainly not charged with the type of charges
that they
had.
And 21 people have been brought before the courts so far on all of this, but you say you're talking about that, but the community, and I'm not sure it's fair. I completely agree with you about the thuggish behaviour and the violence and the lawlessness and all of that, but we act as if the community is completely divorced from that and this is just an element, but there has been a community protest outside Crown Paints for weeks, if not months. The Coolock says no, who say that they weren't engaged with it, that there was one meeting in April and after that further meetings were supposed to happen but never happened. Has the government, and has indeed the Department of Integration, are they getting it wrong with how they are engaging with communities where these larger asylum seeker centres are being planned?
Well, firstly, I fully agree this is not reflective of the entire community. At the same
but not
time,
everyone
there were
who was just an interloper. Some of the people, and we've seen it, we've heard it on the news, we've heard it in voxes in the media. Some of the people in Coolock support what happened on Monday.
Absolutely. And some of the people arrested and some of the people who were throwing and assaulting members of An Garda Síochána, throwing rocks and other things, were from the local community. But I don't think we can tarnish and tar everybody with the same brush. The community have said very clearly, and there are groups on the ground, there are partnerships, there are organisations who are there to help with integration, who are there to support communities in general. They want to be engaged with, and they are being engaged with. So there have been meetings as far back as March when this was identified as a site, further engagement in April, further engagement in May. But you have to remember, we're only at the early stages here. So Minister O'Gorman and his department identified this site. And if we're to move away from private providers, smaller B&Bs, hotels, the way that we've had to do this up until now, we do have to have these larger types of sites. But we have to do the work. So that what was happening on Monday, the contractor was to do work to make this a site that would be fit for people who are fleeing and who are seeking international protection. So we're not even at the stage
but Minister,
where people are moving in so that we can give that information to others as well.
There's a very interesting piece by Ellen Coyne today in The Independent saying that government and agencies need to speak to people who disagree with them as well as people who agree with them. And that you are talking to community groups who are like largely welcoming and we want a diverse population. All that. Are you actually speaking to those? Because it seems to me that the pushback on all of these sites is growing. It's not diminishing, it's not being managed. And that 18 months ago, this wasn't what was happening out on the ground. So somewhere along the way, the government has lost the room. So what are you doing to combat disinformation? And what are you doing to engage with those who are the agitators in the community, who are the ones who are saying, no, we don't want this. Like, you know, what are you doing to change the narrative and to change the perspective of communities?
So I would say, firstly, this is still a minority of people. If you look at the many, many direct provision centres, be they large or small, that have been developed or put across the country, the vast majority, we have not seen something like this happen. You have a minority of people who are not just from the Coolock area and that community, but people who are moving around to a number of sites trying to stoke up this division. And these are very clearly not people who want to communicate. These are people who don't want to engage. They want to veto anyone coming into their area. Now, nobody has a right to veto where anybody would go, in particular somebody who might be fleeing war, persecution, torture, starvation. Nobody has that right. If people want to talk to us, then government is there, officials are there, and local representatives as well. And let's be clear, I have a role, you know, yourselves here as radio presenters. So do local representatives have a role. And when you see, and I saw this yesterday, a newly elected local councillor come out and say that the Garda Commissioner was responsible for and instigated what we saw on Monday, that is not appropriate for a councillor to come out and say something like that. So we all have a role
to
make sure that
the
facts are correct.
So what are you doing to combat the disinformation that is out there? We heard things said, like, for example, at the Coolock protests, that, you know, you were going to have to give up a room in your house to asylum seekers, that they were going to take your private property, that they were going to, you know, the government were going to commandeer people's, you know, properties and homes and all sorts of things. What are you going to do to combat that? Because that is inciting fear and also maybe inciting violence in some people.
Well, firstly, the government has never made that statement or professed that. So we have to make sure that insofar as possible.
Disinformation, what are you going to do to fight it?
So it is a challenge, not just on this topic, but on any topic. You now have multiple formats where people can say whatever they want, whenever they want. We have already moved to establish an online safety commissioner where there is harmful content online, where public and where in the public domain, but also where these online platforms can be held to account, where they allow this type of harmful content to be disseminated and to be spread. We have a disinformation strategy that's also been progressed by our Minister, Catherine Martin. But you also have a responsibility on all of us in our individual departments and the work that they do. Myself focused on the international protection system, immigration, that we communicate the facts. But it's very difficult when you have so many platforms, when you have, again, I would say a small minority of people, but a very vocal and a very active group who want to spread this type of information.
But there is a disinformation strategy to combat.
There is a disinformation strategy that's been progressed at the moment, yes.
You mentioned the guards and the graduated response by the guards. The guards themselves say that they felt unsupported out there, particularly on Monday. There was guards assaulted, there was a security guard assaulted. And we saw lots of pictures and footage from Coolock on Monday of guards literally in shirt sleeves while people were hurling missiles at them. The guards say that they don't feel on the front line that their response was what it should have been, that the public order unit should have been deployed earlier.
Firstly, I cannot commend them enough for their response. And you're right, there was a mixture of Gardaí on the ground. Mm-hmm. Over the day, you had over 200. You had the public order unit, three of them in total, as well as plainclothes Gardaí, or soft cap as they're called, who were there supporting the public order unit as well. As the incident unfolded and as the day unfolded, more Gardaí were brought in as needed. And I think what's always the case, and will certainly be the case in this instance.
But if the guards themselves don't feel that they're being brought in as fast as needed, are they not the best judges of that?
Well, what the GRA have said this, they've said that there needs to be a review of what's happened. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully, these type of incidents, while it feels as though there are more of these kind of incidents, this scale and this type of incident is not commonplace. It will, of course, be the case that not just locally in Coolock Station, but at a senior level, there will be a review of what was done, what can we do better, how can we improve, how can we build on the positive things that's happened here. What I saw and what the vast majority of people saw were Gardaí responding efficiently, effectively, quickly, and that large numbers
no
were there.
I have no criticism of
very,
the Gardaí. I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, were they supported enough? Because we saw those pictures, they're on the front of all the newspapers, of guards, as you say, in soft caps, shirt sleeves, and there were rocks and bricks being hurled at them, and they didn't have shields, they didn't have, you know, that we didn't see that public order sort of, we didn't see helmets, we didn't see the kind of maybe equipment that we should have seen. The water cannon, I know you say, how long does it take to deploy a water cannon from Northern Ireland to a site in Ireland? the Republic of Ireland?
It can be done quickly. Obviously, if it's coming from the north, it'll take a number of hours, but it wasn't requested. It wasn't asked for. This wasn't a decision that was taken by the commissioner. We do have one that's been procured so that we have it ourselves, and that was taken after last November.
How long till we have one here?
It's going through the process at the moment, so I expect that we'd have it in the next few months. It's not something that
but
you can order off the shelf.
Matter, but if we did call for it, the one from Northern Ireland, it would take a matter of hours to have it.
It would, but again, this wasn't requested or needed. The decision, obviously, by the Gardaí was taken that it wasn't needed. But I think it's important to say that a situation can escalate very quickly. So we could see a picture where, in a matter of minutes, what were a small number of people suddenly escalate into a large group very, very quickly. I spoke to the Garda Commissioner very early on that day, and at that stage, the public order units were being deployed. It takes time to gather them, and obviously you had more plainclothes Gardaí, and those that were local were coming to the scene as well. But Gardaí responded in a really efficient and effective way. And of course, there will have to be lessons learned. That will always be the case for any type of incident like this. But I don't think anybody could suggest that they weren't out in force, that they didn't respond effectively. And my job, I suppose, as minister, is to make sure that they have what they want and that the laws are strong. And in the last 6 months alone, not only have the sentences increased for assaulting a member from Garda Síochána from 7 to 12
sure.
years, but also they had stronger incapacitant spray with them on Monday because this was purchased recently.
You're confident that the Gardaí are fully equipped to do their job?
I believe that they have more than they had in the last few months, and the fact
it's
that
not
body,
what I asked, Minister.
Yes, I am confident, and obviously, if there's more needed, it will be provided. But the very fact that they have body cameras now, for the first time at some incident like that, Gardaí will not just have visuals of what happened, but also vocals, and that will be really important in the prosecutions of those people who are arrested.
Briefly, Minister, the third Family Justice Development Forum is on later on today. What do you expect that to achieve?
Well, really what we've been working on with the support of the forum, where you have legal representatives, family groups, representatives from the justice sector, is to make a family justice system that has children and families at the centre. And that's not been the case, despite the wonderful people that work in it and support families going through divorces, breakdowns, really challenging situations. There are a number of really clear and important actions have come from that group. The Family Courts Bill, which will provide dedicated family courts with specialist judges, specialist sittings separate to criminal cases or anything else, so that family matters can be heard quickly. There's work has been done and actions are already being moved on around child maintenance so that it can be recovered. Particularly, it's often the parent that is in need most that can't get access to it. Voice of child reports are now being looked at, and work is underway to make sure that they're accessible, that they're financially viable, that they're monitored and managed, because these reports, be it a welfare report or the voice of the child, can have a massive impact in a court sitting and decisions that are taken. There's also work being done around the in-camera rule. So that was put in place to try and protect families. But what we've seen, particularly in domestic violence and coercive control relationships, it can be used as a mechanism to continue that abuse. So all of this work is being done with the sole focus of making sure families and children are at the heart of the family justice system. And I'm doing that with the support of all of those working in this area.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.